Okay, we'll go ahead and get started on tonight. And I hope this lesson blesses you as it has me for y'all giving me the understanding. So we'll just deal with it as always. It's just, I don't really prepare these lessons and things like that. Just go ahead and keep that off. I don't want to prepare these, I don't really just sit out to prepare a lesson and things like that. I just allow y'all to lead me in which direction you want to go. That's the way we take it. And so we'll make changes and adjustments and things like that as you lead us to do so. Because I always want to position us to be able to deal with some things as y'all want it dealt with. And this is one of these lessons again. So let's pray and we jump right into this. Father, y'all, we bless your name as we present ourselves to you once again. We ask you to give us understanding as always. We seek your wisdom. And we thank you for leading and guiding us in all truth, unsealing the scriptures to us so that we may walk in your will. And we bless you again in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Just want to kind of share some things with you from a personal perspective, two personal perspectives. One of my covenant brothers, and what I mean by covenant brothers, we have the same pastor. And I'm just not going to, throw names out. That's really not, my purpose and things like that. And so, but again, my pastor is very well known. If I call his name out, a lot of people most likely would know who he is just from the perspective of the name and things like that. And so, so I'm not going to do it for those purposes. But I had received an email from my covenant family. Again, the covenant family is all of again the pastors and all of the organizations, programs, however you name it, that are all interconnected. And I received an email stating that one of my covenant brothers had died yesterday, so the night before. Yesterday was Tuesday, Monday night. And from what I'm hearing is that, he was just sitting in his chair reading his Bible, and a wife comes through, and, he appears to be asleep, and so she just left him there in his chair, and then, left him there for a period of time. When she comes back through, she noticed, he was still in the chair, and she went, to check on him and stuff like that, and he never... he wasn't conscious, and so she called 911. When he got there, he was already dead. So, that's what happened as far as he's concerned. And and I thought about it, quite a bit. Been in a lot of sittings, and heard him, preach a lot of messages and things like that. And every time we lose a loved one, it always has an effect on us in one fashion or another. And that's what I want to deal with on tonight. I want to give us a focus. Now, I think it's too warm in here, y'all. You can cut that off. But I want to kind of deal with that on tonight. And the reason why is because of what the day is. Today would have been my mom's birthday. She was actually born on the 22nd, but it's 1921, and she would have been, I believe, 96 today. But I want to deal with that because Yah led me to write about it, and I want to teach about it on tonight. And as you well know me by now, you've been around me enough to know I don't plan these kind of things. And the majority of the time, when God deals with me about something, you know, kind of one of the gauges that I look at, not saying that's the only thing, but it's kind of like one of the gauges that I look at to let me know that this is really God dealing with me about this. You know, I do stress one of them. I don't want you to use that as an avenue and say, well, shoot, you know, that's what I'm going to do too. No, it is one of the gauges that I use as a confirmation to know that God is dealing with me about something. It's because, you know, a lot of times there are things that I personally don't want to do. And so this particular writing today, I didn't want to do it. I know it's a very sensitive topic. I really was struggling with writing about it and things like that. I was like, man, you know, this is very sensitive issue. And so I was like, okay, I know you want me to do this. And since you're leading me to do this, you know, obviously, you know, I can't do this without your wisdom. I need you to guide me and lead me on what I need to say to get the point across as an encouragement, you know, because like I said, it's a very sensitive subject. And so I want to talk about some things, and then at the same time, I'm going to expose some things as far as the system is concerned. And if I end up not doing that, you know, just kind of remind me, hey, remember you said you were going to expose some things about the system as far as the topic is concerned. So I'll do it now, so I'll forget it. What you have to understand is that the system will take advantage of our good hearts. And so what the system will do a lot of times is it will play on our sympathy, so to speak, and cause us to get into a ritualistic, which is really a form of idolatry if we're not careful, a ritualistic approach to things, because their motivation is always money. The system motivation is money, so they want you to remember certain things because they need you to get flowers, they need you to get candy, they need you to get, you know, all these different things that we do from a ritualistic standpoint on an annual basis. And we have to realize that when Yah starts to enlighten us, that's a term I like to use, when we are illuminated, that's what the elite use because they understand the pineal gland. They have certain knowledge that the majority of people don't, but since we're connected to the Most High, we have the highest level of understanding. You have to realize you are a vessel that has that potential. And so, but what the system does is it uses all these different avenues to generate resources to itself. And so it wants you to celebrate your loved one's death every year and their birthday every year and all these different things. Like they want you to celebrate all the other things that we celebrate every year, because bottom line is X's and O's with them. You know, you said it at the grave site, but they're paying for a yacht, you know. And so that's the mindset of the system. And so you have to be very aware of it and don't get caught up into it from a ritualistic standpoint. And now we're on the other side of the word, whereas we are committing idolatry instead of remembering our loved ones and different things like that. There's nothing wrong with remembering your loved ones, but at the same time, we got to make sure that we keep our focus. And so just remember that. There are a lot of things that the system will do and causes us to do, and you know, you see people with the flowers and the different things, and it's just a lot of things that people do, and just be wise about it. And so I like to say it like this to kind of put the icing on the cake, so to speak. Whatever you do, let it be led by the Spirit of Yah. And then whenever it's led by the Spirit of Yah, it's always going to be right. It's always going to be from a proper perspective. But when we do things because other people do things, or this is what America does, America has this habit of worshiping their dead. Okay, America has this habit, so it is a ritualistic, idolatry thing that if you're not careful, you get caught up into it. Okay, I always remember my loved ones at different times or another. Every last one of them, I remember them, and have, you know, feelings here and there. Some of them I smile, some of them, you know, sometimes I get a little teary-eyed, you know, things like that. That's a normal process. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't get off balance now, okay? So what we'll do, we'll look at some different things, and I'm going to just approach it. You know how I do when I write something. I just approach it strictly from what I've written, you know, and then just kind of go from there, okay? So let's do that now. Let me enlarge this a little bit. Wait a minute, I'm doing something wrong. Okay, please.
Pastor, while you're doing that,
yes.
I just want to share this. It was kind of creepy to me.
Okay.
At our family reunion, you know, I'm very big on family, but I haven't been to a reunion in a number of years. And my dad passed away, however old Alan is, that's how long he's been gone. And my mother's been gone about, 20 years, something like that. But they both showed up at the family reunion a couple of years ago. They had an image, I guess in cardboard or something, life-size of my parents at the family reunion. And I thought that was creepy.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
And people were taking pictures with this image. And that even creeped me out even more when I heard about that. I said, "No, that's weird."
If it's too warm, then that is weird. Get my office chair. You don't have to do that. You're gonna bring my office chair. What are you gonna tell us? Okay. And yeah, that is a little bit strange. Not just too warm, turn it on, because it is getting warm to me. I just don't like turning it on. Yeah, whichever you want to find. just operating, you know. Okay, everyone's thinking, hear me fine, right? You know, it's kind of warm. I'm trying to hit the AC. Okay, now, yeah, that is kind of strange, you know, and that's a good example to use whereas a person can get caught up into it from a ritualistic or idolatry point of view, where now you got people standing beside a live image of that loved one taking pictures like they're at the reunion. That was kind of strange, you know. So I think that was a good example to use. So I'm glad that you shared that. You know, so I want to make sure that it's not important that we don't lose focus and start to do these things. So that's what this lesson is about. So I want to start it out just reading from what I had written in reference to my mom. It's March 22nd again. Okay, on this day, my beloved mother, who is deceased, was born in 1921. But before you show honor to her and love toward me, which is something that I greatly appreciate, hear me out. The scriptures does, in fact, encourages us to honor our loved ones. And so I want to look at this scripture, and then we'll move around and we'll get an understanding of this here. So we want to look at this in scripture, because anything that we're dealing with, we want to try to always make sure that we have the word to back us up, that we're not just teaching something from a traditional standpoint. Now, the Exodus chapter 20, we'll be moving around. Remember, always have your, you know, we use technology there. You see here, you know, I always use my computer and things like that. And so, you know, use your technology, but always have your Bible handy too in case I get to move around too fast on it. Okay, so Exodus chapter 20, we are looking at the law. Okay, Exodus 20 is the law. And as you see here within the law, Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Then it has the colon there. So what the colon lets us know? What does the colon let us know?
I'm getting ready to explain
why
explanation.
It's an explanation of what we just read. So this verse 12 is saying, honor thy father and thy mother, it is giving us the explanation of why this is important, especially when we read the rest of it. It says that thy days may be long upon the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. So we know that this is the law, so this is the law. It's something that he's referring or he's giving to our nation. But at the same time, since we're supposed to be in, since we are supposed to have been the priests of the world to teach the statutes and the judgments of the Most High God. And, you know, it was intended for all mankind to understand these principles, but it was given to our nation, the nation of Israel. And so it's vitally important for us to understand that we do honor. Now, we look at the word honor here because we want to understand what that is. The word honor here means, it says honorable, abounding with, boast. There's some other words that's in here because it shows another side where honor can take place. Well, y'all say, I'll get honor out of Pharaoh. I'm going to give me some honor out of Pharaoh kind of deal. And so when you look at it from in a nutshell, it means to be honorable, to promote. It's a positive perspective that's associated with it. It's in a good sense, okay? To enrich them, it says rich here, honor. You know, so when I honor my parents, you know, I have a perspective towards them that is an enrichment, okay? And so as you see the scripture here, it tells us in verse 12, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Jehovah thy Yah giveth thee. This is a law. And so it's vitally important for each one of us. You know, I have children, got grandchildren now. You know, it's vitally important I taught them honor. It's vitally important for my grandkids to understand honor. And each one of you to understand, you know, the importance of honor. And Yah points out to our nation that, hey, if you don't honor your parents, then, you know, they're not long, they're obviously short, you know, from a perspective of lifespan is concerned, okay? Now, we look at this and it shows that we are to honor our mother. You know, our father and mother, Yah intended this to be in place. It was so important that he put it in the law. This is a law. This is not something that we decide if we want to do it or not. It is an actual law, okay? Now, some brothers may say, you know, especially from a religious point of view, say, well, this is talking about the Old Testament. Well, Christ said it also in the New. Okay, he said it also in the New. The very same words he said. He said, "Honor thy father, and thy mother." Okay. Now, as we continue to move on here, I'll pull back up what I had written. We see where it says, "Honor your parents," and then also I pointed out that you honor your loved ones, not just your parents, but we honor one another. And love. So we'll look at that passage here. It's found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, okay? Leviticus 19, verse 18, just to show you the scriptures here in reference to that. So I try to always make sure that we are able to look at the scripture. Now, Leviticus 19, verse 18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge." Now, you have to look at the rest of this, but I'm not going to discuss that because I want to specifically pull out what we're discussing here. It says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people." Okay? This is another commandment that is given to us as a nation of people. Okay? It says, "Grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah," okay? And so it points out how we must walk in love. You know, we shouldn't bear a grudge against the children. So when you look at it from the perspective by which it's written, he was showing the importance of loving your relatives and things like that, because he did them thy people, among thy people, okay? And so as he's showing it here in reference to verse 18, and you look at other passages, he's talking about specifically in this particular passage, he's talking to the nation of Israel. And so he's teaching how we should love one another. Well, we now understand that we spread that love abroad, and we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to love mankind. You know, I love mankind in general, but I certainly have I want to say a more passionate love for the people who are in the household of faith. You know, and so this is another passage that I wanted to show. That's why I put it there. He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah." In other words, every action that I take, I should put it in the perspective of having me in mind. So if I would look at you and want you to show a certain amount of love toward me, then I need to show that same type of love toward you that I would my own self. So if there are certain things I wouldn't do to myself, I certainly, you know, am not supposed to be doing it to you. Matter of fact, I had a person that asked me this years ago, man, probably about 20 years ago or more. They had asked me, it was a meeting and everybody got real quiet. They had it down at City Hall and they asked the question. They was like, okay, they were talking about, violence, basically in the home. Okay, so they were talking about, what term am I looking for? I'm blank, y'all.
Neglect?
No, violence. What they call it? Violence in the home? What is it called?
Abuse?
Yeah, I guess.
Domestic violence.
And so it was talking about domestic violence. And they was asking, they was like, what would make a person, because we know now you got the women that whoop the men nowadays. You know, it used to be a phone call where you had where men were beating on the women most of the time. That's I used to review grants for United Way, and the department that I was over in the grant review dealt with homeless shelters and things like that. So I would go visit these sites to make a determination if United Way should fund them. And they were funded based upon my recommendation. Matter of fact, I was one of three who would review those grants before they would go to the specific panel to decide what they were going to do as far as funding those organizations. And what I realized when I got to those places, there were men there. And it kind of messed me up for a minute because my mind said I was always looking at it from the point of view of it being the woman who was always being abused. But I realized from dealing with that there were some men who were hiding from women because those women were putting some stuff on them, you know. As you know, you got some crazy folks on both sides of the sexes, so to speak. And so they were asking this particular question about domestic violence, and they was like, okay, what will make a person beat another? What will make a person, you know, hurt another person? And everybody just got real quiet. And I'm sitting back there, and I raised my hand. I was saying, you know, well, what will make a person be able to do that without any remorse? I said, that individual don't love themselves. So when I said, everybody was like, man, I never looked at it that way. All I was doing was quoting what I understood in the scripture. If it is difficult for a person to love someone else if they don't love themselves. That's why the scripture says, love thy neighbor as thyself. You don't go around snapping the heck out of your own self. Most people do things to take care of themselves. So Yah said, from this perspective of the law, he said you should approach other people like you would approach your own self. How you would take care of yourself, how you would make sure you do things for yourself, how you would make sure that you be there for you, be there for other people. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so from that perspective, in writing this, I had those two things in mind when I was writing this in order to give a person an understanding of the subject matter. It is a good thing to honor your loved one. I want to make that point clear. There is absolutely nothing at all wrong with honoring your loved ones. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? Now, with that understanding, as we move on and I continue reading now, and I said this, I continue reading, factually speaking, the scriptures are clear that we are to honor our parents, Exodus 20 and 12, I dealt with that, and our loved ones, Leviticus 19, verse 18, you love your neighbor as yourself. Those are your loved ones. It's just not talking about somebody who lives across the street, because when you look at it in the context of meaning, it's different. It's different because he's saying God people, so it's talking about family. Talking about family. Now, I love the person across the street, but, you know, it's a different facet of love. I love them in a Philadelphia brotherly love type of mentality. But you know, they get on my bad side, and I won't fool with them anymore. You know, kind of deal. But there are loved ones that, for whatever reason or another, I always look for the opportunity. There are some people I don't look for the opportunity to experience love with them because they're just, it was a casual friend, Philadelphia brotherly love type of mentality, and I can live with it or live without it. Well, it's different when you start talking about your loved one, you know. And so I may not deal with some of them, but there is always an avenue where I'm looking for the opportunity, okay? You don't have to now, you know, but there's always the opportunity. And when we follow Yah, we always look for the opportunity, you know. We always look for opportunity for Yah to show up in men things if there's something going on, okay? Now, yes, the scriptures also reveal that there is something more honorable than them. And one thing we got to understand, I love my family. I adore my family. All facets of my family, I adore my family. You know, I've been the past 2 days. I've been with my grandbaby. She's been feeling so hot, but she's been with Papa, and it's kind of funny because you know, Mom came home and got ready to leave out the door. She thought she was gonna cry, and she was like, "Dora, Mom, you gotta go back to work." Dora was like, "Bye." You know, with Papa, go home. You know, type of deal. And so, you know, so she adores Papa, Papa adores her. So from that standpoint, I honor my grandbaby. Let me use her for example. I honor her, and I can see a look in her eyes. Oh, she honor her Papa. It's just, she think I hung the moon. Can't tell any difference. But at the same time, what I was doing with her is sometimes I would get her, and you can see the look on her face because you can see the spirit of Yah coming up on her as I was doing what I'm about to tell you. That is a confession that I do every day from the perspective of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 14, where I quote it every day, you know, that I can recall. I quote those verses every day. I just know it verbatim by heart, however you want to put it. And so I'm always confessing. So this particular time, I grab her by her hand, and I look in the face and I start to say it, and I can see how she's looking at me, and I can see something happening with her spiritually as I'm saying these words to her. And she gives me this, you know, she's very attentive, so she's giving me this look. But I can see Yah dealing with her mind as I'm confessing this, and these words are pouring into her life. And so from that perspective, you know, I want to teach her how to honor, okay? So that's what I mean by I honor. You know, I see that she honors me. I want to teach her how to honor. I want to teach her how to respect people, you know, and I share that stuff with anybody that I come in contact with. I try to show a perspective of where Yah can be glorified in an individual. And we all love one another. We may not agree all the time, but I try to position myself to do something in a way to where it can bring honor, you know. My technique might be a little unorthodox for whatever reason or another, but bottom line, if you understand my heart, you know that whatever I'm doing it out of love and fun and stuff like that. That's just my personality. And so to say that, to say this, although I teach my granddaughter, I'm using her as an example, although I'm teaching her and I'm imparting into her how to obey her papa and to do these different things that she's supposed to do, I also
I also am showing her that there is something greater that she needs to honor. So that when she grow up, she can understand that, oh, I honor my papa, but there's somebody who trump him. And somebody who is more important than he is. I don't want her to sell it in on the issue that I'm one of the most important things in our life. The reason why I said one of the things, because some things about her father, her mother, you know, her grandmother, her aunt, uncles, all of her, she thinks Alan hung the moon too. She thinks Elder hung the moon. You can't tell her nothing when it comes to him. Sometimes she'll bypass me and go to him, you know. And so I want to teach her how to honor those people. But at the same time, I want her to violate. I'm trying to impart a vital concept that there's something more important than all of us. And that's one thing that you have to realize is that you can love your loved ones. They are very important to us. We have fond memories of them. There are some wonderful things that we have about them. There are some things that we've experienced with them that are not so wonderful. But bottom line, we honor them. But we got to each understand that there's something more important than our loved one. And that's what, should be chewing a full month, and that's why I pound in your head. Yeah, you love Papa, but I'm going to show you someone greater, and you better honor this one. So I impart these little words. I let her see me do things, and she's very attentive, and she's looking. You know, I remember her mom. When I used to pray, she was about the same age. When I used to pray, she used to get on my back. And people used to be like, oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you a God and you letting, you praying? You know how we told these so spiritual. You know, you praying and you let your daughter come in there? Yeah, she would come and get on my back and lay there the whole time I was praying on my back. I would pray face, just laying, flat, face down, so to speak. And she would come in there sometimes and get on my back. I never would tell her, get out of here, because I wanted her to understand that there is someone that she needs to honor greater than her dad. Okay? And so, I want to remind you that again now. Factually speaking, the scriptures are clear that we are to honor our parents and our loved ones. Yet, the scripture also reveals that there is something more honorable than them. You got to understand that concept. Okay? Luke chapter 9. Now, we'll go to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 59 and 60. You know, I'm just reading some of the verses. You can kind of do it on your own time, okay? Yeah. Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60. We may go up a little bit further so you can understand some other things. We're going to start at verse 57. Okay, we'll just start at verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57 says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Jehovah, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Yehoshua said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, don't take it that, Yehoshua, the Savior Jesus, was on this. He was basically saying as he was on this journey that he didn't have a place to go at that particular time. So he was saying, okay, in a nutshell, where I'm going, foxes may have holes in this area, birds may have nests, but the Son of Man is going to have a place to lay his head at this point, just kind of give you an understanding. And verse 59 says, and he said unto another, follow me. This is the guy, but he said, Jehovah, suffer me first. Now, the word first is where we want to really concentrate on. So I'm going to pull it up here in my writing so that we can deal with the definitions and things like that, so I won't have to refer right back to the scriptures now. Although we're dealing with the scriptures in particular, I just want to deal with it within my writing. Okay. Again, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Jehovah, suffer me first. Now, when you look at the word first, that is a very important word, because the word shows what the real issue is. That's why we always do word study, you know, and we want to, you know, man live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So a lot of time a person will overlook a word because they're too busy trying to concentrate on something else instead of focusing on everything that God's saying in order to understand what the real subject matter is about. So the word first here is a vital principle to understanding this passage. He says, suffer me first. Now, when you look at first and define it, first means in place. It means order, because he's showing the order. He's saying, I want to follow you. It's not an issue of whether or not he want to follow him. That's not the issue. But he's saying there's something that's more important to me. There's something that I have in place or before following you. That's why he said, suffer me first. I'll follow you, but let me do something else first. So if you look at the word suffer, it says suffer me first. First means in place, in order. Let me do something as an order. I want to do this first, then I'll follow you. Let me suffer me first in place, in order, or in order of importance. There's something more important to me than following you. Let me do that first, then I will follow you. That's what the Savior is understanding. Okay? So we have to learn how to see things through the eyes of the Savior or through the eyes of Yah, and then we'll understand what's really going on. Because if we don't, we'll think, man, Yehoshua, the Savior, was a cold dude, man. He ain't telling us about your dad or nothing like that. No, that has nothing to do with it. That's not the main subject matter. It has something to do with it. It's just not the main subject matter. Okay? Now, again, he says, Jehovah, suffer me first. First means in place, order, or importance. Suffer me first to go and bury my father. Yehoshua saith unto him, let the dead bury their dead. So when you look at it and you see him said dead, then that lets you know it's not an issue of just saying, I don't care anything about your dead loved one. Because he's trying to get across to this man a spiritual or a kingdom perspective. So he immediately responds, let the dead. Well, we know this man is not physically dead. We know he's not physically dead. So we have to understand what the word dead is meaning. Well, as he's looking at a man who obviously, you know, his physical body, he's not deceased. What does it mean in let the dead? So he's saying let the dead, we define it. It means from a spiritual perspective, mental disposition. There are people who are mentally dead. Their mind is dead, meaning that they have not been enlightened as far as the kingdom is concerned. He said, let those be concerned about burying the dead, because those who are spiritual-minded should be concerned about something else. It's not that he's saying you shouldn't be concerned or we shouldn't be concerned about our deceased loved ones. He's saying, well, when you're spiritually-minded, your focal point should be on something else as priority. Now, I'm going to let you in on how I think. I have a priority every day. My priority is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every day, my priority is always the same. Now, it doesn't mean that there are other things that I don't do, But when it comes down to it, I have a priority. So what Christ is saying to this man now is, look, okay, you have to understand that if you're going to follow me, you've got to have a specific mindset. Because if you don't have a specific mindset, it's going to be difficult for you to follow me. That's what Christ is saying. It's going to be difficult for you to follow me if you don't have a specific mindset. If you are spiritually dead, if your mind is not focused on what we stand on a daily basis and say, I love Jesus, thank you, Yah, and isn't Yah great, walk by faith, ain't the Lord good? If you think the Lord good, type amen. If you think the Lord good, then clap your hands. If you think the Lord is wonderful, you think that the Lord is wonderful, then say hallelujah. Get up and tap the cold. Do all these wonderful things because we think that the Lord is one way. And then all of a sudden, a day comes, and now he's not a priority. We have to learn how to make him priority regardless of what is going on in our life. I didn't say we could do other things. What I'm saying is the mindset determines what a priority is. Did y'all hear what I just said? Your mindset determines what your priority is. So as Christ starts to deal with this man, he says, let the dead, if you're spiritually dead. Now let me tie up the loose ends now. He said to the man, the spiritually dead has priority over my priority. But see, that's what he's saying in a nutshell. He says, let the spiritually dead bury their dead. Now, he goes on and says, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So it lets us know that he's comparing this thing, or he's comparing what should be most important. So he's saying when it comes down to what's most important, your loved ones or the kingdom, he said you need to make the kingdom your priority. Now, am I saying now don't do things first with your loved ones at times? No, that's not what I'm saying. Because there are times when I've been praying, God said, boy, you need to put that Bible down. You need to spend time with your family. There have been times when I've been trying to spend time with the family. God said, you need to put that down. Deal with your family. You need to come spend some time with me. Whatever God is leading us to do, it now becomes priority. And in order for us to be spiritually focused or spiritual-minded, we have to always be in a position where Yah can become priority. If your day start out with so messed up to the point to where Yah can't be priority, you're dead spiritually that day. He should always be a priority in our lives on a daily basis. Yeah, today was my mom's birthday, but you know what? Her birthday is not my priority. She's not my priority, because if she was my priority, I could not have written what I had written in order to edify other people, to give them an understanding that we all have to have a priority more than our loved ones, if we belong or if we desire to follow him. Now, as we continue to read on here, I'm going to read a verse again, Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60, and then I'm going to move into my comment portion. Luke 9, 59 and 60, and he said unto them, follow me. But the man said, Jehovah sent me first to go and bury my father. Jehoshua said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of Yah. Okay? Now, important key now, Jehoshua wasn't dishonoring the deceased. I'm making a statement. That wasn't his goal. Because Jehoshua understands the law. And we dealt with the law when the law said, honor thy mother and father. So we know that he's not going to contradict the scripture. So wisdom teaches us now, no, that's impossible for him to be talking about that we shouldn't honor our parents. Exodus 20:12. So we know that's not what he's talking about. Okay? Yahushua wasn't dishonoring the deceit. Instead, he was giving us the understanding of the kingdom. He was giving us the understanding that the kingdom of God had to be sought as priority. Remember, I honor my mom. I didn't forget today was her birthday. That was an honor. But I don't get off priority. And neither should you. Matthew chapter 6, let's look at the scripture now. We shouldn't get off the priority. This is why. Matthew chapter 6, we looked at these verses a lot. So I'll teach you within the lesson. Now, Matthew 6, verse 33. It says, but seek ye first. That it word first again, so let's look at it. Verse 33. But seek ye first, proton, that's the Greek meaning, seek ye first. Now it says in time, in place, order, or importance. Same definition. So that verse is the same definition as in Luke chapter 9. It says, but seek ye first, seek in, and firstly, in time, place, order of importance. At the beginning, in other words, whatever goes on, let that be the place where you start. So let me give you an example of how my mind works. Again, using my mom as an example. Today was her birthday. But instead of me allowing that to be my beginning for the day, my beginning started with seeking Yah. See, people who are spiritually dead, their beginning start with, oh, today, my birthday, my beginning. Now their whole day is rooted in what they have given their attention to first. So since I'm using that example now. So if I had gotten up today and my priority would have been, man, today my birthday. Then I would have moped around and groped around and done all this sad stuff that you see people do on a daily basis, all because they're honoring, hear this now, do what I'm about to say, they're honoring their loved ones in the wrong priority. I didn't say you didn't have to honor. I didn't say you couldn't honor what I am. I didn't say you couldn't honor them. What I am saying is the honoring is in the wrong priority when you turn around and honor from a perspective of where now you can't do nothing but think about them and grieve and mourn and mourn for that day when you serve a Yah who should be able to bring about a different perspective. So I woke up today and my priority was on him. And because my priority was to honor him and is to honor him on a daily basis, when the birthdays roll around or the death days roll around, I am still in honor mode because my priority is in place. Therefore, I can get through each day, even though I still honor my loved ones on that particular day. So that's what he's saying to us in a nutshell. Verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6 says, but seek ye first. Make it your priority. Make it first. I don't care what's going on. Make that your priority first. Make it always. That is my priority. That's why I always have a statement that I'm always looking for the opportunity for Yah to slide in on my mind. Because I don't want to wake up one morning dead. I don't want to wake up one morning spiritually dead, and now my whole day is messed up because I'm now concentrating on the things that's in this world instead of the things that Yah has ordained or has told me to focus on according to the scripture. People ask me all the time, they're like, how do you do it? How do you get up each day? How do you preach your mom's funeral? How do you preach your sister's funeral? How do you preach your nephew's funeral? How did you do all these different two sisters now? How did you preach these things and you were able to stop that because I got a priority? That's how I did it. If they had been my priority, I would have been laying out in the podium. And, you know, at the podium, I would just walk up to the podium and fell out and cried the rest of the day. But they wasn't my priority. My priority on a daily basis is always seek ye first. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If I seek him first in his righteousness, when I need joy, because the 22nd is looked upon as a sad day because my mom is not here for me to celebrate a birthday. When I seek him first, he'll add joy to me on a day when most people grieve. I don't have time to grieve today. I enjoy the day. I look back on it and say, man, I remember the crazy stuff mommy used to do on her birthday. You know, mom, you was always ask mama, okay, mom, what you want for your birthday? Boy, you can give me the money. So I allow, because I get up and seek him first, then from that point on, y'all say, yeah, today is her day, and you honor her, but I'm going to give you whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report. Think on these things. I'm going to give you things that's going to bring you joy. You may have a little tears with it, but that's going to be some joy. I'm going to give you all the things, all the wonderful memories about your mom, because you got up and made me priority. But if you get up dead, guess what you're going to do? You ain't going to think about nothing but all the bad stuff. And the scripture points out to us that a merry heart worketh like a medicine. But then a heart that is heavy, that dries up bones. That's Revelation. If I can keep my mental state focus on him and his righteousness, then it's medicine to my physical body. So a lot of people are around why they aching and going on. The reason why you aching is because you've been dead all day. You know, anything that's dying decays. But anything that chooses to live in him now, it brings medicine or a merry heart working like a medicine to a physical body. But if you get up and something else is your priority, then guess what's going to take place? Your physical body's going to line up with what's going on in your head. As a man thinking, it is hard, so is he. There lies the physical condition. So each day, get up with Matthew 6 and 33 in mind. I have to get up. Remember, I honor my grandbaby. I'm using her again. I honor her. She honor me. But my priority is to get up and seek him first. He is priority at all times. Even when it don't look like I'm making him priority, because I'm over there just playing around and messing around, you know, playing, you know, PlayStation 4 or something like that. It may not look like he's priority, but I want you to understand he always has the opportunity to slide in on my mind. Why? Because he's priority. I may not be doing some spiritual stuff all the time, but he's priority all the time. Seek him first. Seek him first. When you start to feel a little bit down because today is the day that your loved one either died or something happened to your loved one, whenever you start to have those experiences or when you know you're coming up on that day, then you need to get your priorities straight. Get up and seek him first and watch him help you get through that day, and you can now be a witness instead of You want to be a witness either way. But you can be a witness for him. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He'll add all things unto us. Now, any questions coming at this point, I'm going to keep on and finish up now. Truthfully speaking now, the scriptures unveiled the man's mindset. Although he wanted to follow Yehoshua, that wasn't a problem. He wanted to follow. He just said, let me do something else first. Although he wanted to follow Yehoshua, he considered earthly things as more important than the kingdom. Okay? That's what he considered. Earthly things as more important than the kingdom of Yah. Okay? He considered earthly things as more important than the kingdom of Yah. So Christ now chose to require of the man a very extraordinary sacrifice. You so concerned about these earthly things. You come on. Don't bury your father. Let those who are spiritually dead bury him. You come on, follow me. Man, can you imagine? Today, just to use it for now, today your dad died. And then I'm gonna just talk to you from his perspective. Today your dad died, and then God comes to you and says, don't even go to the funeral today. I say funeral kind of funny. don't go to the funeral today. But instead, I want you to go and witness to that lost person over there in a specific area across town. Now, everybody will look at you and be like, man, what kind of rebel is that that comes to his own dad's funeral? And when we saw him, he was standing over there across town telling somebody about the kingdom of the Most High. That's what Christ was doing to this man. Christ chose to require of that man a very extraordinary sacrifice so that man could show his sincere attachment to the kingdom of Yah. See, the reason why I had to write this is because I had to get people to understand that, yeah, it's okay to honor your loved ones, but your priority should be a sincere attachment to the Most High God and his kingdom. And if the day is going to get you, or whatever day is going to get you off track, then that's the day that we got to make sure that we got to get a fight on straight, not chill. Then I end with this now. That said, I have this I thought about this. I was talking to my daughter about it today. I said, you know what? I think we got family members that either have birthdays or death days just about every month. I said, when you think about it, I said, okay, my youngest sister, Latonya, her birthday is January, mine is February. I just thought going down the list, okay, mine was March, okay, my brother's April, okay, such and such is May, June, July. Every month I have a loved one's birthday every month. Can you imagine if the Lord Jerry, they all die? If I get caught up into this earthly mindset, how I got to grieve every month, every year after year, can you see how crazy that is? That's why Yah is saying to us, we got to get our priorities straight. Because if Yah tarries, we all going to lose loved ones. I got loved ones who are way up there in age. You know, this old boy around the corner himself. Since I'm around the corner myself, I got family members who are in their 80s, late 80s, and things like that. And I know if Yah tarries, I'm going to lose them soon. But I can't celebrate their birthday and their death day every year. I can honor them every year, but I can't make them my priority. I got too much stuff to do. If we don't make Christ our priority, if we don't make the kingdom of God our priority, all we're going to do is sit around and mope. month after month. Because I think if all of us be honest, we got loved ones who we lost or something tragic has happened or someone that, you know, that if God carries, they're going to lose their life and all of the months going to be covered just like mine. I can't do it to myself. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. I'm going to honor them, but I'm not going to allow it to destroy me to the point to where I can't follow him so that I can be what he's called me to be in the kingdom of the Most High God. Again, as I get ready to close, now that said, I have deceased loved ones whose birthday, now when I talk about deceased loved ones, I actually do have loved ones who are deceased. That I can look at it and it they every month I got loved ones that I lost that if I look at it I was born every month from January to December every year from January to December every year I have that now again that said I have deceased loved ones whose birthdays. Or deceased days fall within every month of the year. And if my priorities weren't straight, you got to get the priorities straight. We got to get our priorities straight. And if my priorities weren't straight, I'd be absolutely miserable year-round after year. And cycle just repeat itself every year. If you're repeating a cycle every year, your priorities aren't straight. That's the part I didn't want to write this because I don't like saying certain things that can be hurtful to a person when they initially hear it. But at the same time, I understand this concept. You know, medicine don't always taste good. But open up and swallow. Because I'm a physician and I know that there are people who have need of a healing. Particularly one have need of a physician. And I know I have been called to be a healer with the words that I speak and the words that I write. But sometimes I understand that what I teach and what I write don't taste good. But if you hear what I'm saying, from a spiritual perspective, I guarantee you can bring about some healing. So, as I get ready to close, I encourage each one of you to look forward. Why? Luke chapter 9, verse 46, and I'm done for tonight. Luke 9, verse 46 says this. Let me get there. Luke 9, 62, I said 46, I don't know where that come from. Luke 9, verse 62. Now I just read 59 through 62 now. Verse 59 says, he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Jehovah, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jehoshua said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of Yah. And another also said, Jehovah, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell. Let me go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. See, everybody got priorities. That's what he's saying. Look what Yehoshua said to both of them in a nutshell. And Yehoshua said unto him, no man, no one is excused. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of Yah. Now, what does it mean to put your hand to the plow and look back? Let's just deal with some definitions before we close. No man having put his hand to the plow, okay? It means what it means, the word plow, and looketh back. When you look at the word looketh, it means to proceed, to take heed, to be aware. Now, when you look at the word back, it means to go against the direction that you're going. When our perception now is against the direction by which we call the door, Yah said, you lost the ability to be fit now. Now, when you look at the word fit, is to be in appropriate place. Okay? To be meet, to be well placed. Yah said, anyone who now, whose perception now has not made me priority, because their perception or their focal point is concentrating on something else, he said, they're no longer in the right place. They won't see the kingdom of Yah. So it's vitally important. Remember, we honor our loved ones. It's vitally important for us to understand that although we have been given the permission to do it, that we don't ever allow it to get us off focus to the point where Yah says you're out of place. Or more importantly, I'm out of place in your life. Old Papa loved his granddaughter. Man, look at him. I look at that little girl, and boy, when I look at that little girl, she is a priority to me. You mess with my baby, boy, but look at him. One time they called me and told me, you know, something was going on at the daycare. You know, man, look at him, boy. I'm going to load up all my guns. I'm just you don't mess with Papa, babe. Let me just say. But that, she's not my priority. She is not my priority. I have a priority, and that priority is Yah. Everything else comes second. So let me say this without getting ready to close. It don't matter how much I honor you, you're not first in line. There's someone who is more important in my life than each one of you. Oh, I honor you. I love each one of you. But there is someone who is more important than any of you. And I don't care what goes on, I'm going to keep my focus on him. I don't care how crazy it is, I'm going to keep my focus on him. And I want to encourage you to do the same. As the grand close, read verse 62 again, let you go now. And Yahushua said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back, whose perception now has been taken off of where it's supposed to be. Since the reference is the kingdom of Yah, that's what he's saying. You can't commit to this. Yah says in a nutshell, let me make it plain. Yah said, I'm tired of my people saying that I'm most important in their life, and then circumstance happens, and then they're looking at other places. It amazes me how many people can say, I love Jesus on Facebook 1 minute, then the next minute, woe is me. Y'all said, those people are out of place. He said, son, I'm sending you. I said, y'all don't want to write this. I'm sending you anyhow. You got to write what I said. Because I want people to understand that I should be most important in their lives. So you got to step out there, put yourself out there, and allow maybe some of them to get a little mad at you because now you're messing with their loved ones, so to speak, from their perspective. I got to stick you out there and let you go tell them because I love them enough to take a fool and make the fool who don't care about what somebody think about it go tell them. Y'all get your priorities straight. Make him first. Alright? I'm finished. So you have anything? Okay. Alright, let's pray. Anybody? Any questions, comments? You good? I'm stopping ready. I'm finished. I ran my mouth a little. I know. Okay. Father Yah, we bless your name on today. We thank you for the examples, the testimony that was used to encourage us to keep our priorities straight. And we just bless you, Yah, that you love us enough to give us an example in the scriptures so we can understand that it's okay to honor our loved ones for whatever reason we may do so. But at the same time, it is more important to not lose our focus on you being our priority. Each day, Yah, we get up with the goal of making you our priority as we seek you first in your righteousness
and you add everything that we need. You add joy when we're a little sad. Every facet of everything pertaining to life and godliness you'll give us if we seek you first. And we thank you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.